Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Governor Blagojevich has been arrested in the middle of what we can only describe as a political corruption crime spree. We acted to stop that crime spree. The most appalling conduct Governor Blagojevich engaged in, according to the complaint filed today or unsealed today, is that he attempted to sell the Senate seat. The Senate seat he had the sole right under Illinois to appoint to replace President-elect Obama.
Well, what a difference a day makes. This is Rick Roberts in for Michael Savage, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Taking your calls, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. It just, where do I begin? I can turn in any direction. It's like rats leaving the ship in Chicago. Even for Chicago, this is rich. Of course, Obama has made more comments. He says, obviously, like the rest of the people in Illinois yesterday, he's saddened and sobered. And I mulled over that yesterday. What does that mean? Nobody talks like that. Axelrod says Obama spoke to Blagojevich. Other people say everybody is just coming out of the woodwork. And, of course, Jesse Jackson Jr. Yes, Jesse Jackson Jr. Much like Obama. He had his stuff together until he went off script, and then he sort of fell apart. And how do you stop this? I don't know that you can't. Not in this this climate of total political corruption. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. You know, and I was talking with some people about the legality of pay-to-play in Illinois. They finally passed a law, but, you know, right now it's legal. And someone was saying to me, well, Rick, it's not illegal to wish you could make $100,000, or wish that this guy would give you $50,000, or wish, oh, please. You know, I was born at night, but not last night. Wish. You know, based on the tapes that have been released, did you know there are 300 hours of audio tape on this guy? Wiretaps, bugs, what have you. 300 hours. You know what's been released? 3 minutes. 3 minutes of 300 hours has been released. No, don't tell me that this is going to go away, because it's not going to go away. What did Barack know, and when did he know it? Well, that's what a lot of people are trying to determine at this particular point in time. But you have to look at this, and I'm not casting aspersions on Barack. You know, don't call me up. You don't like the black man. Don't stop. I'm not even going there. What I'm saying is black, white, short, tall, fat, skinny, doesn't matter. You come up through the political ranks in and around Chicago, and you're going to get dirty. You're just going to get dirty. Now, you know, I know Barack Obama's talking about change and ethics and morality and a new direction. Change? And it's this and it's that. Okay, fine. How did you maneuver the rapids of the political corruption in the state of Illinois? How did you do that? See, I'd like to hear Barack Obama, you know, maybe a fireside chat. You know, the old fireside chats? Yeah. Have Barack Obama. He could sit there. He could even have a cigarette. That's okay with me. That's fine. You know, he's trying to quit. But he could sit there next to the fire. Maybe a nice tawny port and a cigar. Friends, let me tell you about change. When I was an Illinois senator, and he could go through the whole spiel and explain himself instead of, you know, the lame attempt he did the other day. I may not agree with everything, but I'd have more respect. Of course, Dick Durbin held a press conference on Blagojevich, talking about how it's a sad day for his state. This is Dick Turbin Durbin we're talking about. It's a sad day for the state. And that if the allegations are proven true, that Blagojevich has abused the public trust. But Durbin, do me a favor. Save the oxygen. tell us something we don't know. Yes, he abused the public trust. We don't need you to tell us that. He also says that no appointment from Blagojevich would be a credible replacement. You think? Oh, who would buy into that? And then, of course, Chicago Mayor Richard Daley commenting on the arrest of Blagojevich. If it's true, it's a very sad comment because of the selection of the U.S. Senator. Blah, blah. Richard Daley is going to give me political cues about corruption? Please. And then, of course, Axelrod, he's making the rounds. And it's so predictable. I mean, isn't it? It's so predictable. The American people are so much more intelligent, than these pseudo-intellectual political dynasties give us credit for. You know, Daley giving us cues on political corruption. Axelrod, you know, making the cable rounds, you know, doing his little spiel. U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald, you know, that press conference, you know, that was amazing. I mean, that truly was. But I want you to hear some of the Jesse Jackson stuff in just a second, because we've learned, because in these tapes, there was 1 through 5. He is Senate candidate number 5, we've learned. A reporter is asking him if he is Senate candidate number 5. Jackson says, well, he has not been informed of that, and he doesn't know who number 2 through 5 are, and he has been informed that he's not a targeted investigation. And then he broke into some rhyme like his dad, roses are red, violets are blue, I'm not a candidate, how about you? I'm sorry. The U.S. attorney asked him to come in, share his insights about the selection process. He says, yes, he's going to do that, but he'd love to chat with his attorney first. Huh. If the U.S. attorney, no, I'm just saying, if the U.S. attorney, in the middle of this huge political corruption scandal, I mean, it's so much more than that, would ask you, could you come on in and share your insights about this? Yes, I'd love to. I'd like to talk to my attorney first, but I'd love to talk with you as soon as possible. And again, I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying it's I'm sorry. I'm not buying this. I'm not buying it for a minute. I look at this thing. It's nasty. It's dirty. It's the seedy underbelly of American politics. I'll tell you what you're seeing play out right now in Chicago for I don't know how many times. Chicago perceptually has always been this way, maybe more so in the past than it is now. Who knows? But what I'm seeing is exactly why the American people have lost their confidence in politics. Now, how many times have you heard, well, they're all going to do the same thing? Well, they'll all do this. Well, politicians are all the same. Well, first of all, I don't believe they are all the same. But there's a reason that stereotype is out there. And what you're seeing right now is the dirty, seamy underbelly of the American political system. Now, that doesn't mean we throw it out, because, you know, I've traveled. I've been to the Middle East and I've been to other places. And I'm going to tell you, we've got the best system going, even with all the flaws. But here's the deal. We've got to start holding people accountable. We must not become desensitized in the sense that, well, I'll give you an example. Remember when you were in high school, you were taking driver's ed? And at some point during the driver's ed curriculum, they show you all the blood and gore films. One was called Signal 13. Another one was, I don't know what they were called. But you got to, there were 4, 5, 6 films, and they were shown over a 2-day period. For probably the next 6 months, the safest place on planet Earth to drive a motor vehicle was that high school parking lot. Then the 7-month period passes, the 8-month, and then all of a sudden, it's gone, right? And they're drag racing during the lunch hour. You know, that's the American psyche, and you become desensitized to this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter. I have actually had people tell me on the radio show, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? The Constitution matters? Yeah, I know, but it doesn't matter. It does matter, and it will always matter as long as there are people that believe in freedom. It will always matter as long as people believe that the spirit of America is stronger than any one person. I'm sorry. This thing has tentacles far and wide. People are going to fall. Jesse Jackson Jr. is coming out. Look for other Senate candidates. I'd like to know who Senate candidate number 1, 2, and 3, 4 are. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great, wouldn't it? And just listen, let's all just have a little panel. Maybe like the dating game. You know, remember the dating game I don't even remember the people that were involved. But, you know, they'd have somebody up there, and there'd be a wall, and they'd have, you know, the guys on the other side. And, well, Senate candidate number one, if I had a vacant Senate seat, what would you do? Well, you get the idea. I'd love to see something like that and look at them, get the visuals as they're explaining themselves. You can tell so much with these guys. And don't give them time to prepare a speech or a 3x5 card or a teleprompter. I don't want to see that. That's not how you and I live. You know, if your boss calls you in, you don't say, yeah, can I get with you at 9 o'clock tomorrow? I need to get with my people. What people do you need to get with? Just come in here and answer the questions. You don't go in there with a prepared text. All right. Let me get to some of your calls. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Marco in Chicago. Marco, you're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Marco?
I'm doing well. I just want to make a comment. I know this Blagojevich was trying to scam for himself, but he was also trying to scam something for his wife, too.
That's right.
And if you think back, Senator Barack Obama got to the Senate, he scammed something for his wife right off the bat?
Well, when you say he scammed something for his wife, what specifically do you mean by scam? I mean, did he procure a position or a posture for his wife? Or what do you mean by scam?
He cleared the way that his wife can get some gravy gig at 300 and something thousand a year.
Look, words are very important right now, Marco, because we're under this investigation. I mean, you and I aren't, but the situation is. Now, what I'm trying to determine from your comment is, what do you mean by scammed?
Well, it's just a term I use because these guys don't do anything above board. So to me, almost everything they do is a scam. Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, but I think that lessens the severity of what we're talking about. I mean, no one is wrong 100% of the time. No one's right 100% of the time. You agree with that, right?
Absolutely. How about finagle?
Okay. Great. We'll use finagle. We'll use that.
Okay. Well, he finagled a nice gig for his wife.
This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Glad you're along. Well, day two. Day two, and it's been a very interesting day, hasn't it? Yeah. I tell you what, let's hear a little bit, just a little bit of Jesse Jackson Jr. in a prepared text, obviously. If we could grab a hold of that, I want to see how he's playing himself out. Let's hear just a little bit.
You said the candidate advised me, even if you're not a target of the investigation.
I have not been informed of that.
So you're not aware whether...
I'm not aware of... whether I'm Senate candidate, I guess Senate candidate one has already been named, but I don't know who 2 through 5 are. But I have been informed, and I can tell you what I have been informed of, that I am not a target of this investigation, that the U.S. Attorney has asked me to come in and share with them my insights and thoughts about the selection process. I plan to do that, of course, after having consulted with counsel. I shared with the U.S. Attorney that I would like to do that as quickly as possible, as soon as possible, at their earliest convenience.
All right. Your calls straight ahead. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Thanks so much for being along. Well, even though Barack Obama isn't accused of anything, not yet, and I don't know that he will be, the charges against his home state governor concerning his own vacant Senate seat are nonetheless an unwelcome distraction. And the ultimate fallout, you know, that's unclear at this time. I mean, people are coming out of the woodwork. Let's go to Chesray, New York. Chesray, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
I'm actually calling from Rhode Island, and Rhode Island is, like, a little microcosm of what's happening in the nation, because something very similar is happening with the mayor of our capital city in Providence. The mayor's brother was put in jail for doing something with drug dealers or whatever, but it later came out that he represented someone that had to pay $75,000 in city taxes. The mayor's brother handed him the check, and it bounced. Now, this check was held for many years, apparently, and the person who was paying the taxes gave money to the mayor's campaign. The mayor was asked if he knew this person. He said no. The mayor was asked if he knew about this check, which apparently was sent in twice and bounced. He said no. Now, all of a sudden, something might have been said to him, but it's not the mayor, though. It's all the people under him.
Oh, no, look, I understand. You see, that is why you need to be very specific when you get in front of these people. As we pointed out yesterday when Barack Obama, unfortunately, tried to take a call on this. Cesare, I appreciate the call very, very much. And it's not isolated to Chicago. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is a sad day for my state of Illinois. Our system of justice gives anyone accused of a crime the right to defend himself in court, and Governor Blagojevich will have that opportunity. But if the allegations, and I read them this morning, in the criminal complaint against Governor Blagojevich are proven true, he has clearly abused the public trust. I think the Illinois General Assembly should enact a law as quickly as possible calling for a special election to fill the Senate vacancy of Barack Obama. No appointment by this governor under these circumstances could produce a credible replacement.
You think? All right. Well, thanks so much for pointing out the painfully obvious. Excuse me. That's Daly. Of course, this is Rick Roberts setting in. No, I'm sorry. Not Daly. Talking about it. That's Durbin. Of course it is. It's Durbin. You know, the players, it really doesn't matter anymore, does it? Well, of course it does. But, I mean, did you hear that? Did you hear the inflection, the delivery? This is, you know, they've got people working behind closed doors feverishly. Okay, say this and say this. Then you want to look up, sort of grimace like you feel their pain, and then go back to this part. I mean, we're not that stupid. We're truly not. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-TALK. 1-800-449-8255. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Let's go to Sacramento. Talk with Ann. Ann, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I really enjoyed your program yesterday. Very informative.
Great.
I agreed with a lot of your comments when you played back the sound bites of Barack Obama, how he had stumbled on his words and then he tried to overcorrect. It was very obvious to me even before you played that back. You played it back for the audience a couple times.
Right.
But I caught it right away. It was like, oops, I said something. Oops, I got to fix it now. And now they're scrambling, trying to hold this whole situation and the investigation. Now the behind the scenes stuff is concerning me. I believe there's cover ups going on, and it's like, you know, catching the horse after the barn doors open. I think they're trying to fix something, but the cat's out of the bag.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you to bottom line it for me, Ann. You think Obama's involved? Is that what you're sort of skirting the issue about? Do you think Obama's involved with this?
Absolutely.
Okay, in what way?
I believe that he wants the Democrats to be part of the White House, you know, under his leadership. And just like the birth certificate issue, that got blown out. I just believe he's not maybe directly involved, but he's involved. And usually he's the one that gets off and everybody else gets the fall. And I think that's what's happening here.
Well, you know, that may be true. There's nothing to indicate that. As a matter of fact, I think I played that for you as well. There is a place in one of the tapes. By the way, Ann, 300 hours of audio tape has been garnered by the feds, by the FBI, in this investigation. Only 3 minutes, 3 minutes of that 300 hours has been released. But in one part of it, you hear the Illinois Governor Blagojevich say, talking about Barack Obama and his people, All they want to offer is appreciation. Well, that bodes pretty well for Barack Obama. But, and you know, knowing Chicago politics from the outside looking in, you know, you have to wonder, how can you maneuver the rapids of that political corruption as a state senator and not know something about something? I'm sorry. You know, Barack Obama is a lot of things, but I don't think he's stupid. You know, you can't look the American people in the eye and say, I don't know anything. Yeah, I was a state senator, but, you know, I don't know anything about the governor. Never saw him. I don't know anything about this. I don't know about that. You had to know something. Why not just step up and say, yeah, there were rumors this and rumor about that, but, you know, I personally never, you know, was involved in anything or saw anything. You know, that would be more believable to me than say, oh, no, I was a state senator, but I don't know anything. Well, if you didn't know anything, you must not have done a very good job. I mean, you can't buy that, Ann. I don't buy that. David in Albany, New York. David, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, David.
Yes, I have a unique spin on what I think should happen, and I believe it's divinely inspired. And the spin is this, that if there's been some hanky-panky in Chicago, the interests of the nation are so important that George Bush, before he leaves office, he could pardon everyone involved in this scandal, including the governor, if he steps down, and so that the press, the news media has a need to turn this into a Watergate to sell newspapers, magazines, time on the radio, time on the broadcast networks. So they're gonna dig into this. So George Bush could pardon everybody for the sake of the republic.
David, I don't mean to step on you, my friend, but there'd have to be a conviction before there could be a legal pardon. And I don't think you're going to see any convictions happen. Well, it'd be impossible. You can't convict people that quickly before Barack Obama is sworn in.
But Nixon wasn't convicted, and he was pardoned.
Well, he's been arrested. He's not been indicted. I guess that's what I mean to say. I mean, you can't just basically say, I hereby pardon anything that could possibly happen in this case, you know, for time immemorial. It doesn't work that way. There's got to be an indictment. He's been arrested. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but for the sake of the republic, the world is in perilous times, and there's no time for the United States to be bogged down in a 12-year Watergate special prosecutor living forever, you know, just digging up everything. It's going to stagnate America in the world. I mean, forget this guy, the governor.
But David, forgive me. Again, I don't mean to interrupt. But I understand the premise of what you're saying. America with the economic crisis and the bailouts and this and the foreclosures and loss of jobs and all of this stuff. You know, this is the last thing we need to get bogged down in another Watergate type scandal. But there is no way that Bush, an outgoing president, can look off into the future, look into his presidential crystal ball and say, okay, this guy's going to be indicted, that guy will probably be indicted, and let me give a pardon by proxy or something. And it just doesn't work that way. I mean, there's no convictions. There's been arrests. There have not been indictments yet. So, you know, he can't do that. I understand what you're saying, but I disagree. And I disagree on this. There's plenty of time for this country to punish those people that have violated, have raped the public trust. There's plenty of time to take these traitorous people that say they serve the public trust, serve the people, and then do exactly the opposite. See, I always think there's time to do that. There's always time to do that, my friend. Greg in Chicago. Greg, before I go to this call, one last comment. You have to hold them accountable, just like your kids. You don't give them a pass. Well, I'm too busy at work, and, you know, we've got the remodel going on in the kitchen, and we don't want to get bogged down in this discipline thing. Well, if you don't, the kid will do it again, and then maybe something bigger, and then maybe he harms himself or someone else. You know, this is a very basic dynamic in human behavior. You know, a man lies to the public. He abuses the public trust. He's, in my opinion, traitorous in his selling off of an elected seat. You've got to hold these people accountable. You have to. All right. Let's go to Greg. Greg, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Greg?
Great. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with Dick Durbin. I think this is a great day for Illinois. I'm a lifelong resident of Illinois. Just to kind of give you a little background on Blagojevich and He's never been very well liked. I can't believe he got elected again. I do believe about the arrested thing. But in Illinois, we kind of have a running joke that south of I-80, we're a red state. And just to kind of build on his arrogance and the way he's been ruling from Cook County, ask yourself where the man was arrested. He was arrested on the north side of Chicago, not in the governor's mansion. He's completely shunned Springfield. His family refuses to live in the governor's mansion. He flies several times a week on a private jet to and from Springfield, which is our state capital, at a cost of about $2,500 a trip, which goes directly to the taxpayer, just simply because he feels like staying with his buddies in Cook County. And we are fed up with it outside of Cook County. I mean, you want to see some angry people, we're fed up, and this is a great day for us because this is a long time coming, and it just confirms what we've already known.
Okay, well, it confirms what you've already known. When you say it's a great day, in what form and in what fashion will it be eventually a great day?
When people finally see that the corruption has been going on, and it's not like a cute thing to joke about anymore. It's actually happening. We are getting fleeced. Our elected officials are betraying us, and they need to go.
Well, I agree with all that, but why is it a great day?
It's a great day because it's finally coming to light. And I'm not proud of it up to this point. It's a great day. It's not a sad day. It's sad. It's been sad. It's been sad for decades. It's been sad in Illinois. Finally, we see the level of corruption, how far it's going, all the way up the chain. Personally, I'm happy that it's finally getting exposed.
Well, as the... I understand what you're saying. It's a great day. It's a great day that it's been exposed. It will be the fruition of that great day will be when people are held accountable. I'm not all that enthused, Greg. You know, Blagojevich is walking around right now on a $4,500 bond. That is unconscionable to me. You would receive a bigger bond than that for a DUI.
Oh, sure.
I mean, what does that say?
Well, you know, it's something. This is something bigger than has ever happened before. I mean, politicians around here have been getting away with it for years, and they keep getting elected back into office. And to me, I'm sad that it's been happening this way. I'm sad that this corruption has been allowed just to continue without check for decades. But I am happy that it's finally getting put out in the light.
Well, what you're basically saying is the arrogance of government has been brought to light, and now we will see how this thing shakes out. I don't know who the Senate candidates. Well, we know that Jesse Jackson Jr. is Senate candidate number 5, as was laid out for us by the feds yesterday. You know, of course, he's come out and said, you know, I don't know anything. I don't see anything. I'm not the guy. I never did anything wrong. I don't expect any of them to come up and say, you know what? Yeah, I give up. I was trying to buy my way into a Senate seat. I don't expect anybody to do that, but I do expect that the people shine the bright light of day on these cockroaches and track them down if they scurry away. Because this is honestly, Greg, this has to do with the country a lot more than it does Chicago. I mean, it truly does, because you can go to any city in America and people have the same feeling, the same stereotype, the same feeling. You know, it's got to stop at some point in time. You know, first the American taxpayers told we need $740 billion to bail out Wall Street. Okay, all right, if you think that's necessary, I guess you know best. After all, you're a politician. You're much smarter than I could ever be. And then that turns into $6 trillion. Well, okay, if you need that much, I mean, you know, you just do whatever you need to do. I mean, aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of rolling over every time these politicians, step in it? And I'm sorry, Blagojevich has stepped in it. Other people have stepped in it. They need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and they need to be made examples of. You know, I'm not a vindictive person by nature. You know, I truly am not. But I've had it. I mean, I truly have. And Barack Obama, if you're in this thing, you can say, I don't know anything, I didn't see anything, I need to go have a cigarette. You know, whatever it happens to be, I want that exposed. I don't think that anybody's got the cojones to do that in government right now, but the American people are owed that. We're owed that. New York, Jay, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Jay?
Yeah, hi, Rick. I appreciate you sitting in for Michael. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
I had a comment to make about the timing on the decision to reveal the investigation right now. I mean, to me, it seems that had Patrick Fitzgerald held on a little longer, then we could have actually caught the candidate number five in the act of offering the money. Right now, all we have is some, you know, blustering comments by Blagojevich about how somebody's offering him $500,000.
Right.
I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't have the opportunity to, you know, catch the person red-handed. And I kind of, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any chance, but I think standard practice would be to let it play out and see who they could net.
Well, Jay, that was, I guess, a great mind to think alike, Jay. That was my first thought was, oh, man, why didn't you let this, you've been investigating this guy since he took office forever. Why didn't you let it play out a little more? And we would have really, really had some goods on these people. I can only assume, Jay, if it's not your theory, it's got to be that out of those 300 hours of audio tapes, of which only 3 minutes have been released, there's a lot more there than they told us about. That there's a lot more to this investigation that is still going to be released. That's the only thing I can say. And if there's not, if this was it, if this was the big bang, then I'm with you. But I've got to think, you know, Fitzgerald's no idiot. This guy knows his way around an investigation. You know, he is feared. When he gets into something, you know, it's been reported the guy doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take a holiday. Very seldom goes home. He's in it 100% 24/7. So I can't think that he would timing wise. Okay, let's go ahead and do this thing now. You know, what is it? A few days or a few weeks before the election or before the inauguration. Let's go ahead and do it now. I can't see that guy doing that unless he had what he needed to make his case. But that's something, I mean, that's like maybe number three in the top five things I'm looking at on this deal. All right, I appreciate the call very much. More of your call straight ahead, and more from Jesse Jackson Jr. as well. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Thanks so much for being along. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You had said before that I think you had not authorized anyone to make any improper payments or promises in the discussions over whether or not you would be taking over the Senate seat. Is it possible that someone on your staff might have actually acted improperly with or without your authorization?
It's impossible for someone on my staff.
Or anyone on your behalf?
It's impossible for someone on my behalf to have a conversation that would suggest any type of quid pro quo or payments or offers. An impossibility.
Thank you
to
very
an
much.
Absolute certainty. What I have been informed once again is that I am
about
not
to be hit by a truck, evidently.
Target of this investigation.
Yeah. All right. That's Jesse Jackson Jr. Sounding like a neophyte in the way of politics. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. By the way, I want to remind you, go to michaelsavage.com when you get a chance. Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, that's the only place you can get it, michaelsavage.com. And, of course, the very latest breaking stories on Blagojevich and et al., I guess I should say, and all the things that you hear here on the Savage Nation, michaelsavage.com. Okay, here's Representative Jesse Jackson Jr., now identified as candidate number five in the wiretaps. It is, I'll give it to you again because it was a little hard. They were interviewing him, I think, in the middle of the interstate. It's impossible for someone on my behalf to have a conversation that would suggest any type of quid pro quo or any payments or offers. An impossibility to an absolute certainty. Okay. I can't even say that about my own family. How could you possibly say that to ABC News or anyone else with a straight face? You know, you can tell he is a neophyte in the way of politics because politicians, corrupt or not, always leave themselves an open door. Just as I showed you yesterday with Barack Obama. He started to say we, corrected himself, and said I. Just in case just in case there could be some connection made between someone that worked on his behalf or under his supervision, whatever. He could say, well, I never said I didn't know. I just said I personally, right? Not Jesse Jackson. It's impossible for someone on my behalf to have that conversation that would suggest any type of payment or offer. An absolute impossibility to an absolute certainty. There is no one other than God that I'm aware of that could make that kind of statement and believe it. Do you believe it? I mean, I'm not saying the guy's dirty. I'm just saying there's no way in the world he could make that statement unless he does everything himself. John, Daytona Beach. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi. All right. I tell you what, John, stand by with me for just a second. Don't want you to go anywhere because you think Jesse Jackson Jr. is going to be indicted. I'd like to know why. If it's on the basis of making ridiculous statements that he can't possibly back up, yeah, that may be something. How could you make that statement? This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Governor Blagojevich has been arrested in the middle of what we could only describe as a political corruption crime spree. We acted to stop that crime spree. The most appalling conduct Governor Blagojevich engaged in, according to the complaint filed today or unsealed today, is that he attempted to sell the Senate seat. The Senate seat he had the sole right under Illinois to appoint to replace President-elect Obama.
Are you Senate candidate 5, even if you're not a target of the investigation?
I have not been informed of that.
So you're not aware whether...
I'm not aware of whether I'm Senate candidate. I guess Senate candidate 1 has already been named, but I don't know who 2 through 5 are. But I have been informed, and I can tell you what I have been informed of, that I am not a target of this investigation, that the U.S. attorney has asked me to come in and share with them my insights and thoughts about the selection process. I plan to do that, of course, after having consulted with counsel. I shared with the U.S. attorney that I would like to do that as quickly as possible, as soon as possible, at their earliest convenience.
You know, I'm going to be on. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you once again. I'm not a Rhodes Scholar. I've been around the block. And one thing I do, maybe better than other things, is I listen critically. I mean, you wear headphones 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, every month, every year, for over a decade. You listen to inflection. You listen to word selection. You listen to verbal crutches like, well, let me drag this out while I'm thinking of what I'm going to say next. I'm sorry. And I don't know any more than you do about Jesse Jackson Jr. other than that was not a very convincing soundbite. If I were listening, I would listen to that and I go, you know, that just doesn't make sense. First, they want you to come in and talk to them. You say, I'd be happy to come in and talk. Of course, after consulting counsel, at their earliest convenience, you said 3 different things. And you've said it in a very, very ponderous, well, let me think about what I'm going to say next in case it comes back at me later on type way. Yes, I'm going. Do you see what I'm saying? It's, and I'm just observing, just like you are. Oh, by the way, Barack Obama has now said Illinois Governor Blagojevich should resign. Should resign. John in Daytona Beach. John, thanks for waiting. I appreciate it very much. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Rick, remember how Fitzgerald got Libby? They had an interview like they had this afternoon with Junior, and it turned out that as the investigation developed, he was lying on the first interview. So when the FBI shows up, or you show up to talk to the FBI, you better tell the truth because they come back to get you what you said first. And he lied this afternoon.
Well, you're saying Jesse Jackson Jr. lied this afternoon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what did he lie about specifically?
He lied, you know, from Tuesday or Wednesday on the 4th, they already talking in Chicago who was going to replace. If you remember, his father was sitting at the podium in at the Millennium Park right under with Obama. You remember that?
Yes, I do recall that. I'm just wondering, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the dime, John, but from my own edification, what is it that in that soundbite that he was lying about? I mean, maybe been lying about the whole thing for all I know. I don't know one way or the other. But what are you saying he lied about?
Well, he voluntarily did an interview this afternoon with the FBI.
Right.
Okay. And we have all this conversation since post-election. Wiretaps and in it there is a whole lot of stuff. That's the way they work. That's the way they did with George Ryan when they knocked down almost 30 or 40 people. You know, it started out with a very simple investigation. At that time, I understand the governor was consuming a.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. You're talking about the method of operation for Fitzgerald. And okay, I got you. Yeah, you know, I think that's generally speaking why politicians are so tentative and odd. Odd is a good word, when they speak, because they realize this is going on tape somewhere and could come back at a later date. We've seen it time and time and time and time again, just like in the bailout situation when, you know, Barney Frank says, I take umbrage with the fact that the Republicans are saying the sky is falling and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's in trouble. That's not good and that's not right, and I don't see any indication of that at all. And besides that, the government would never bail them out. Of course, no one's holding him accountable for what he said now that he's walking point for the bailout. Okay, so I see what you're saying, John. You know, but wouldn't it, and it's not beyond the pale, it's totally, totally plausible that Senate candidates 1 through 5 could all have stepped in this in some form or fashion. I mean, after all, it's Chicago, it's the state of Illinois, it's Blagojevich. And, you know, I mean, when in Rome, who's to say that it was going to the highest bidder? Senate candidate number one, what's your bid? Okay, I've got 50, 50, 50. Who'll give me 100, 100? Okay, Senate candidate number four got 100. I mean, it could have been like a stock auction, for all I know. Kurt in Portland. Kurt, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks, Rick. I have two comments quickly. The first one is the fact, do we even think Obama's capable? If he didn't see this going on in his own backyard, how is he ever going to know what's going on around the planet? And number two, the liberal media that pushed him down our throat, aren't they kind of the same people that were crying out for Barabbas 2,000 years ago? Should we not be calling him Barabbas Obama? Does that not make more sense? I'm not comparing John McCain to Jesus Christ, but that the liberal media knew who would be better for this country, yet they were calling out for Barabbas Obama.
Well, Kurt, you know, you've got a point in the sense that it is the state of Illinois. Chicago, it goes without saying, the perception is everybody's corrupt. You know, no one's wrong 100% of the time. So, you know, I take that with a grain of salt, but not much. Yes, they have a long history of political corruption, law enforcement corruption, and so on. And one is pretty hard to do without the other in concert at some level. You know, I look at it this way. If Senator Barack Obama, Illinois Senator Barack Obama, was not aware of what was going on around him, then, yeah, that's exceedingly troublesome, I think. That's going to cause me some consternation as president. If you don't even know what's going on around you in the state that you're the senator of, then that's kind of dicey, I think. If you did know, and you're not saying why. All right, so it's kind of a catch-22. I'm sorry, I was senator of the state of Illinois. I didn't know the governor. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what day it is. That's one thing. Or I guess there's a third option. He could be, for the first time in since the history of man, since we crawled out of the caves, he could be the first politician in the state of Illinois that doesn't know anything about corruption, is just absolutely pristine, just pure as the driven snow. And I'm not going to camp out on that particular option there. Jeff in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jeff, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
I want to dare to change the focus a little bit here on this. It would be nice if people, everybody all the time lived, 100% morally and legally pure. The fact is they don't. So in the case with politicians, we have a perfect system, at least potentially a perfect system for taking care of this. We can pay attention to what they're doing. If we don't like it, we can, decide that we don't like it and then, of course, vote them out. And the fact that these people, some of your callers have said, yeah, we know about these guys and they have this history and these reputations. So why are they still there? I mean, there seems to be countrywide, this isn't just about Chicago, there seems to be a misunderstanding of how to come to a conclusion or how to make a decision on something. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what the problem is, but this seems fairly simple. If these guys are doing these things, then, then don't vote him in. I mean, even if he's at your party, okay, next time you can vote somebody else in, but to continue to let these guys do this, I mean, it may even go as far as to say that actually attracts these kind of people to these positions because they know they can do it and they get away with it for free. I mean,
Jeff, you make such a good point on this. You know, there is no magic wand that you can wave and clean up political corruption or corruption of any kind for that matter. You know, our political system has its flaws and a lot of stereotypes, and many of those stereotypes are warranted. But we also have a democratic process. We have a process whereby if you don't feel you're being represented properly, you take care of it in the voting booth. And if enough of you understand it and realize what's going on, then you take care of it in the voting booth. But I also think you're right. You know, I'm a big term limits guy. Why? Because I think if you leave somebody in the middle of a mess long enough, they get messy. They do. I mean, you can only hold your breath underwater for so long, all right? Then you have to get air or you drown. And I think a lot of these politicians hold their breath for as long as they can, trying to do the right thing, and then they got to breathe or they're going to die, figuratively speaking. So, yes, we do have the voting process, but look at this last presidential election. Look at the candidates that were picked, that were sold to us by the lamestream media. Just look at this. I mean, you got Duncan Hunter, probably the conservatives, the poster boy for conservatism. He couldn't get arrested in the media. Why? They didn't want to deal with him. He wouldn't play the game. And if you don't play the game with the lamestream media, you don't get to sit at the table. There are so many factors, peripheral factors that play into this, Jeff, that it turns voters off. They become apathetic and complacent, and then that opens the fertile ground to plant the seeds of corruption all the way up the line. The longer they're there, the more harvests there are with those seeds of corruption. So I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it in totality. I just don't know that you can ever get that many people on the same page. I told the story very, very quickly, at the risk of being redundant. A man emails me, and it was right after Barack Obama was outed as a smoker. And he had a young 20-something woman working in his office. And she always had something to say about Barack Obama when she came in the office. And he thought, okay, you know what? He's president-elect. Let's let this thing go. And she walks in and he says, hey, good news. It looks like Barack Obama's going to quit smoking or try to quit smoking. And he said she just stood there, ashen face, like a statue, eyes wide, mouth open. Barack Obama smokes? Well, yeah, but he's trying to quit. This was her retort. Well, I wish I'd known that before I voted for him. Implying, of course, that she's making her decision on the leader of the free world on whether he smokes or not. I mean, this is idiotic. It's asinine. But I follow what you're saying, Jeff. I do indeed. All right. Your calls straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael. We're going to hear more from Jesse Jackson Jr. Going to hear more from Blagojevich. I love that soundbite where he says, hey, I don't have a cloud over my head. I got nothing but sunshine, baby. Nothing but sunshine over my head. Well, yeah, and Fitzgerald setting on your head. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage.
I think there's nothing but sunshine hanging over me. Let me answer that. Your question is, and by the way, I should say, if anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously. And those who feel like they want to sneakily and wear taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and Watergate.
Sneakily? Sneakily. All right. Well, Fitzgerald was glad to hear that it was okay for him to be taped, because that's exactly what they did. 300 hours of tape footage. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage, and of course you're on the Savage Nation. I want to remind you to go to michaelsavage.com. Got something really kind of special for you. You know, they taped, by virtue of wiretaps and bugs, 300 hours of this scum of the earth, Blagojevich. Yeah, and they've only released 3 minutes of Blagojevich, right? And that's where they came up with all this stuff. Well, here on the Savage Nation, we've been able to obtain another minute or so of those tapes. Now it's pretty uncomfortable. If you have children, you may not want them to hear this, but this is exclusive audio footage. This is evidently, I'm told, Illinois Governor Blagojevich talking to a couple on a conference call, I think. So the quality's not that great, but it's a conference call. He's talking to Senate candidates 3 and 4 about what it would take to get that vacant Senate seat. Yeah, it sounds like he was really vetting it, wasn't he? Yeah, looking for, hey, why not? Everything else is for sale in America. Well, of course, I'm speaking with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek, but that's what we've done. We've stuck a big garage sale sign up at every port of entry, north, south borders, every seaport, and now, I guess, we should not be surprised. I'm not surprised. I wish I were surprised. I wish every time I looked at this, I went, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. But I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I run through the gamut of emotions like everybody else, but I'm not surprised. And that's the problem. That's the problem. And I want to know. I want to know who gave the highest bid on this Senate seat. Do you realize how insidious this is? I mean, you might as well put the Senate seat, okay, who wants to be a senator? Let's go to eBay. I mean, this is wrong, and it's wrong at so many different levels, there's not enough time to go through them all. Fort Bragg, George, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, George.
Rick, first of all, man, I want to tell you, man, we appreciate you guys down here at Fort Bragg. It's good to hear truth and common sense on the radio.
Well, we appreciate what you do. And as a matter of fact, George, I don't want you to go away. Please stay right there. I appreciate your tenacity. I want to come back and find out what you have to say. George Fort Bragg, he'll be back in just a second. We'll take your calls. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Set. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Always a pleasure to be in for Michael from time to time. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Okay, well, look, Blagojevich, he's in it. But, man, he is so arrogant. I was listening to that clip just a moment ago. He is so arrogant, knowing full well what a scum he is. All right, want to get back to your calls. George was talking to us from Fort Bragg, and, George, I appreciate you sticking around a little bit. Didn't want to cut you off. How you doing, George?
Doing good. How about yourself today, bud?
Doing very well.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And you know, the governor, he's going to get what he deserves. I mean, he's corrupt. It's obvious. But, I mean, you know, the liberal media, it's obvious. They've got who they want. There's the president. It was pushed. We know it. But do you honestly think Jesse Jackson Jr., regardless of what his involvement is in this and what kind of dealings he had, how long is it going to take before the liberal media protects him because of who he is?
Well, George, that's a good question. I don't know. The fruit never falls too far from the tree. His dad has made a living out of shaking down companies. Toyota, in my opinion, of course, Toyota being a good example. I don't know if the guy's dirty or not, but you remember, did you ever watch that movie, National Treasure, with Nicolas Cage? You remember when they were sitting inside the church after, you know, he'd found all the treasure underneath and all that stuff? And it's like the police detective said for the third or fourth time, it was a common thread throughout the movie. Hey, somebody's got to go to jail. Somebody's got to go to jail. And George, I think somebody's got to go to jail. You know, Barack Obama has already come out and said he thinks Blagojevich ought to resign. Now, if he had any interaction with this guy at all, he's now the president of the United States. There are so many levels below him to take care of what needs to be taken care of, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know. Somebody's got to go to jail.
I just find it hard to believe that Barack Obama has no clue of what happened.
I don't believe that, George, and neither do most Americans. If he doesn't know, then that's a problem in itself. You can't be a senator of the state of Illinois with Chicago right there in the big middle of it and not know what's going on.
You know, as a member of the military, I can just hope and pray that we stay in good hands.
Well, listen, we appreciate what you do very much, George, and that's not idle talk show rhetoric. We truly do. And, you deserve so much more. I mean, truly, as a member of the military, the American people deserve so much more. Our forefathers basically deserve us to be better stewards of what they left us. And I'm not trying to get all patriotic and embellishing and dramatic, but I mean, it's true. You know, this country is worth protecting. The people that live within our borders are worth protecting. You know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that's worth preserving. And when somebody in such an insidious fashion just basically urinates on those documents and rapes the people that he says he's serving, I'm sorry. You got to, it's like in that movie, National Treasure. Man, somebody's got to go to jail. Chicago, Nick. Nick, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Nick?
Thank you. People just do not realize when they said they're voting for change, they voted Obama in. And they basically just brought the whole Chicago political machine, including, you know, the politics of Blagojevich. Basically, everything is just going to Washington, D.C. with Obama. And that's what really scared me. And I'm from Illinois. I'm from Chicago. And that's the one reason in particular I did not vote for Obama. And Mayor Daley, he's frothing at the mouth, just. He can't wait to get all these government contracts steered toward Illinois and Chicago. And Obama is so deeply connected to these people, the Chicago political machine. I just think that people, saying they're voting for change, did not know what they were doing. And they're going to be shocked to see how Obama is going to be operating.
So basically what you're saying is you're from Chicago. You didn't vote for Obama because he was connected to the political machine in Illinois. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, he was just like Blagojevich was. He was brought up to become governor. He, you know, through the political machine, through his father-in-law, through Richard Daley, the mayor. And Obama is basically, he was brought up in the same fashion. And he's very connected with Blagojevich. And these other, just for example, the current state treasurer that Obama backed, who was just elected, this Alexei Janulius, I mean, he was a banker. And this Janulius, he wants to replace Blagojevich. He's, you know, stated he wants to run, he wants to be the next governor. And this guy, he's admitted to making loans to organized crime figures, and he's the state treasurer of Illinois.
You know, Nick, I don't know what it is about the state of Illinois and Chicago specifically. It's like once you get elected to office, they give you your pass for parking and assign you a special investigator. It's ridiculous. And I don't know, if you're from Chicago, maybe you can answer the question, why did the people of Chicago put up with it? Why is it perpetuated term after term, administration after administration? Why? Because that's the way it's always been. It's historical. Who knows? I don't get that. Jerome from, and I appreciate the call very much, Jerome from Cincinnati. Jerome, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey, Rick. Forgive me if I'm a little nervous, but while I was on hold, I was sitting here trying to think up an analogy to why I think Fitzgerald went ahead and brought this to light now. It would be like if you had a drug dealer that you were investigating for months.
Right.
And you were tailing him on the way to a big drug deal, but you felt that who he's making a big drug deal with might be someone that you know or a relative or a friend of a friend, and you don't want to implicate them, so you stop the drug dealer for running a red light rather than implicating someone else in it, you know, rather than having someone else, highly known liberal, go ahead and say, yeah, we'll give you this for the seat, or I'll do this, I'll give you this amount of money, I'll donate this. So rather than that, they're just going to take the governor out rather than taking out somebody else also along with him.
Well, Jerome, that's a pretty good scenario. I think that's very plausible. You know, you could also say, well, after Barack Obama was inaugurated, he's then president, and he has the power. He then has the power to hire and fire. And who knows? That may blow your investigation, or at least at some level. I don't know. There's got to be a reason. By the same token, you have to realize, Jerome, wishing that you had the power to sell a Senate seat is not against the law. Wishing that you could land at a $300,000 a year job is not against the law. Wishing your wife could make $1 zillion sitting on the board someplace is not against the law. And it's still pay to play in Chicago, at least until after the first of the year, I guess, when they pass the law, or when the law takes an effect. I don't know what the answer is, Jerome, but that was the first thing I thought of, and I can only deduce from that he evidently, in 300 hours of wiretap recordings, has enough to do what he needs to do. But you may be, you know, that's a pretty plausible scenario you draw.
Maybe he felt that maybe the governor would say, well, I'm going to go ahead and appoint this person. Well, when gets back to Barack Obama, he has somebody call and say, well, okay, I'll do this for you if you put this person instead. You know, rather than someone else along the line, he went ahead and stopped it now and said, well, we'll just take the governor out, and then that way we'll save anybody else from getting in trouble also.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jerome. I agree with you 100%. It's very, very plausible. I started to say something that you know, upon further reflection, maybe that's it. It makes more sense than just about anything else to me. It truly, truly does. And as I look at this thing, I said something yesterday. I'm going to revisit it because I got tons of email on this. You know, Rick, I can't believe that you think it's okay to give this guy a pass, and I can't believe that you're advocating the country be held hostage. No, that's not what I said. I'm a realist first and foremost. All right. And I realize, given where we are historically in this country, given where we are, whether it was the birth certificate issue, whether he was constitutionally ineligible to be president, even if he was, you're not going to hear about it. No one is going to stand up in front of a podium with 500 microphones and say, well, we're here today to make the announcement that Barack Obama does not meet the constitutional challenge. He is therefore ineligible as a non-citizen to be president of the United States. Nobody's going to do that. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying nobody's going to. Whether he is more closely connected with Blagojevich than we now know, it's irrelevant. They're going to find a fall guy. That's what all good corrupt politicians do. If he, and again, I have no factual knowledge one way or the other, but if in fact he was found through this investigation to be closely associated with the governor, I don't think you'd ever know about it, because I don't think the government as a whole, and I think this probably would even transcend party lines, I don't think the government as a whole wants to see America burning, and that's exactly what would happen. Now, that's not a racist statement. It's not a bigoted statement. You know, you only have to go back to Rodney King and a few other things to realize, you know, the truth really doesn't matter. The facts just get in the way. You're not going to tell millions of people that the first black president of the United States is not eligible to be president, and therefore he will not be. You're not going to tell millions of Americans that voted for him out of the lack of intelligence, because they thought somehow or some way, if they vote for the guy, he's going to make their mortgage payment or put gas in their car, like I've played for you on that soundbite 1,000 times. You're not going to tell them, sorry, but under the law, you would first have to educate them, and even a half of them would reject it, and say that it was a giant right-wing conspiracy to keep the black man down. That's what it would be. And you would see major cities in the United States burning into the night. So that's not going to happen. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen if it was true. If it was true, I'm saying, as a realist, I look upon the situation and say, it's not going to happen. You know, the Supreme Court's already rejected one of these lawsuits concerning his citizenship. Why? Why? I mean, is it so beyond the pale to ask the leader of the free world to just, I don't know, prove to the people he says he wants to serve that he's actually a U.S. citizen? I'd think that would be a slam dunk. Evidently not. Evidently, I would have lost the bet. And when it comes to this Blagojevich thing and the state of Illinois political machine, the Chicago political machine, you can't tell me you can be a state senator in the state of Illinois and not know a little bit about what's going on in Chicago politics. Not know a little bit about what's going on with Governor Blagojevich, because the guy's been, he's been investigated since he took office. Not know a little bit about the corruption running rampant through that city and through that system. For all the, you can't tell me you don't know. And if you legitimately and truly don't know, forgive me, but you're too stupid to be serving the people. So, with that said, how about coming out before the American people and shooting straight with us? We can handle it. We truly can. You know, it's not like you're going to announce that, that Roswell thing had happened. We've got three little green men living in the basement of the White House. And, you know, we've got the secrets to perpetual motion. And, you know, really, here's what's going on. There's another planet. Just be, and, oh, my God, people jumping off buildings. We're not stupid. All right. We're not stupid. We're not stupid. Barack Obama could not dice his way through the political rapids of the state of Illinois and not know something. Now he's come out and said the governor should resign. I'm telling you right now, just like that movie just keeps coming back in my head, somebody's got to go to jail. And it's not going to be Barack Obama. And probably not Jesse Jackson Jr., but somebody has got to go to jail. All right. We're going to take more of your calls as the developments happen. They're posted at michaelsavage.com. That's also where you can get Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. Your call straight ahead at 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Thanks for being along. 1-800-449-TALK. That's 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Need you to go there. Plan to spend some time. You can also pick up Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, at MichaelSavage.com. Man, the details are just coming out fast and furious now, aren't they? And I look for that. I don't look for this to hit a lull for a while. Because the Senate candidates are coming up. Of course, Jesse Jackson Jr. came out. I don't think he'll be touched, even if he is dirty. I don't know who two through four are, but I guarantee you they're powwowing right now. Is that politically correct to say? I know it's an Indian term. That's politically correct. And powwowing? Yeah, okay, you get it. You know what I'm saying. Powwowing with their attorneys right now. Okay, I can say this, but not say that, and say this, and say this this way. And then in case they want to know that, I mean, you know, it's so, hell, it's one of the, they're just mobbed up. Even if they're not a part of the mob, they've got their own little mob. You know, their political corruption mob. You know, I think I have more respect for Tony Soprano than I do for Blagojevich. I mean, I truly do. I think about this guy and what he did, the children's hospital thing. Oh, talk about insidious. This guy was just evil through and through, if it's true, of course. And I don't know, based on what I've heard, it sounds like the guy's in it. Alonzo in Green Bay. Alonzo, good to have you with us. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Rick. You're doing the yeoman's job, man.
Well, thank you very much.
He's up to this in his eyeballs. There's no way he knows what's going on. Sorry.
Well, I look at that. That's two different things, though, isn't it, Alonzo? You say Obama's in this up to his eyeballs, in this, implying that he had a hand in some form or fashion. And then you finish that sentence by saying there's no way he didn't know what was going on. That's two completely different things. I believe you that he had to know or should have known what was going on. As far as in this, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that.
I mean, he knows what's going on. He's in this. He knows what that governor was doing. That governor came to him. He didn't say a darn word about it. It's amazing how some guy can surround himself with all these creeps like Ayers and Flager and the rest of them, Resgo, and then now the governor. And he said, how did we get to this point?
But complacency, apathy, and basically abdicating our responsibility to those that we think know more than we do without any documentation to prove that point. You get fat, happy, and lazy, and you don't want to miss the next season premiere of Lost.
I guess not. We are too busy watching Dancing with the Stars. These are Chicago politicians, and he knows what's going on. He knows that governor was in that seat around. Why wouldn't he have input in it?
You know, Alonzo, you just said something, and I listened to my callers very critically because, you know, I don't know everything. And many times I get something in my head that you say, and it takes me in a new direction. Alonzo, you just said, why didn't he say something when he was contacted? Well, I don't know why I didn't think of that before, because in the tape that was released, the 3 minutes of the 300 hours that was released yesterday, one thing that a lot of people are saying bodes well for Barack Obama is that Blagojevich said, and I'm paraphrasing Alonzo, well, they being Barack Obama, his people or someone associated with Barack Obama, all they want to give us is appreciation, which implies that they were contacted. It also implies that perhaps through innuendo or some other way, they were feeling them out to see if they would be up for putting some money up front. Why wasn't that reported? Or maybe it was, and we just don't know it yet. That's a very good point, Alonzo. I hadn't thought of that. If, in fact, they were contacted, and if it was apparent through that contact that Blagojevich or somebody working on his behalf was looking for extortion money, front money, you know, bribes, whatever it was, maybe it doesn't bode so well for them if they kept it to themselves. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes. And everybody knows why they're not going to look into Obama being a part of this.
Why?
And I can tell you, and I'm black. He is a black man who happens to be in the Democratic Party.
This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Any cloud that hangs over you.
Governor. Well, getting back to that,
I think there's nothing but sunshine hanging over me. Let me answer that. Your question is, and by the way, I should say, if anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously. And those who feel like they want to sneakily and wear taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and water.
In my years of public life, I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Isn't it amazing? As much as things change, they stay the same. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, without the Obama involvement here, now stay with me on this for a second. Without the Obama factor wrapped up in this Blagojevich thing, you know what this would be? This would be just another Chicago corrupt politician story, wouldn't it? This would be just another, I mean, as insidious and horrible as it is, it's just because this is back to back now. The other one was a Republican. He's in jail. It'd be just another corrupt governor coming out of the state of Illinois. Without the Obama ties here, without the Obama involvement, because it was his Senate seat that was left vacant, it would be just, that's what it would be. That's what it would be. And there's no indication that Barack Obama was playing ball with Blagojevich. As a matter of fact, the opposite seems to be evidenced in these wiretaps. You know, I mean, this Blagojevich, man, he'd turn your hair green with the words he was using to describe Barack Obama for not offering anything other than appreciation. And I couldn't even say it on the radio. But then, on the other hand, Barack Obama comes out of the state of Illinois as a senator and says, no, I don't know anything. I never heard anything. Well, I can't believe that either. I mean, I just can't. And then, of course, you've got the Rezko factor, Rezko and his involvement with Barack Obama. And Rezko was nothing more than a gopher for Blagojevich. I mean, he was. He basically, I don't know, money over here, money over there. And then, of course, you got Barack Obama and Rezko involved in the real estate deal, in a real estate deal that nobody in their right mind would make, making a lot virtually worthless to anybody else. And then, of course, Rezko and his involvement is, I don't know, I guess you could call him a bag man for Blagojevich. So, you know, that's why there's so much interest in this. And it's good. It's a good thing because you need to shine the sanitizing light of day on all of this. But after you do that, you can't quit. You've got to hold people legally accountable. You've got to put them in jail. You've got to hold them accountable, and you've got to demonstrate as an example. You do this, you get caught. Partner, you're slammed. New Orleans, Paul. Paul, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Paul?
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say we was born in Louisiana under corruption. We have governors, school system people, presidents. Everything was corrupt. We had to get a Chief Pendleton from I think it was Washington, D.C. He came down here. He had to fire over 400 police officers when he first came in. The corruption was so bad that if you couldn't get a job.
New Orleans, was one of the most corrupt cities in America.
Many people got their kids, paid for their kids. When they get the age of age, they actually had to leave to another state because they knew everything was odds was against them. So, and then the ministers, they kept quiet. And if you seen something, say something, you were scared of the knock at night. You know, you took it to the police department, something like that, you might be found someplace not found. You understand?
No, I know what you're saying, yeah.
So the people from Louisiana, we're kind of looking at this as it is. It's a reality. We know it is this, and we know how bad it could be. New Orleans, if you can see something as bad, look at Louisiana. Thank you very much.
Well, Paul, I appreciate the call. The difference, as I said before I took your call, the difference here is that you've got a president-elect embroiled, and when I say embroiled, he's a state senator from the state of Illinois. He supported Blagojevich. There's no indication that he was playing ball with him, but he supported him. Rezko and he are in. So, you know, yeah, that's why it's got the national attention. No doubt about it. John in San Diego. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
Good.
Hey, first-time caller. Yeah, I tried that when we were kids. We broke a bunch of windows out at these apartments they're building, and, you know, the word got around, and I tried to use that. I didn't know who did it, and my dad took care of that with the crack of the leather whip, and I never tried that again as far as I don't know who did that, and it's kind of a, if you never, you know, you never get a taste of it, you're always going to say, I don't know who did it, you know.
Well, yeah, the policy of denial is alive and well in American politics, right up until the point where they're actually cuffing you and taking you off to jail. And then past that, well, he was a good boy, and it was a quiet man. I had no idea he had 47 bodies buried in the basement. The policy of denial, I don't think is going to work this time. I don't think it can work. Somebody's going to jail because of the Barack Obama involvement. Somebody's got to go to jail on this thing, John.
Yeah, when the word gets around, you know, like when I'm in construction, if something happens and the superintendent finds out, someone's got to get fired. I don't, you know, they get their two checks, they're down the road, and that's how it usually works. But the higher-ups, it's someone's got to get fired to make everything look good.
Well, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe black helicopters are hovering just above cloud cover, spying on me with infrared cameras. I'm just not that interesting, and neither are most of you. So I'm not. I don't subscribe to that. All right, but I do believe a lot of things happen at very high levels of government, in every level of government, city, state, and federal, and more so at the federal, that we never know about, that are handled outside the view and earshot of the American public, you know, rationalized, well, it's for the greater good or this, that, or the other thing. And I believe that's exactly what's going to happen here. I don't know that we will ever know the totality of involvement, if any, that Barack Obama had with this this corrupt politician in the corrupt machine that is known as Chicago politics. Steve in Chicago. Steve, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got a perspective as a business owner here in Illinois that I've got friends that own businesses in Chicago, and they're pretty much almost brazen to the point where they could put a plaque whenever you go to a state official's office where it says any ungreased deal is a wasted opportunity. It's known, but it's like the mob. If anybody puts their head out, they get chopped off. You know, so I may be a little bit cynical. I think there may be a way for it to be solved in the future. I have a couple ideas, but I don't even know if those ideas would work. You know, my idea would be that that there would almost be a party of politicians that, whether they're on the Democratic side or Republican side, would agree to only public funds, no more campaign contribution, the machine that works to get contributions, and then be, you know, for 4 years, agree to be wiretapped at any point. And these people would, whether they're Democratic or Republican, be the party that would just say, we're just going to, for 4 years, we're going to try to get rid of corruption. But then again, would they win an election? I don't know. The people in Illinois, what do they want? They just want free health care. They want free preschool. You know, will they want what's best for the state? I don't know.
Well, Steve, look at it. Look at the reality of it. Pay to play is legal. It's legal there and won't be illegal until after the first of the year because of the new law they passed. You know, that speaks volumes to me about the dynamics of how the city is run. That's why I say if Barack Obama is messed up in this, you're never going to know it. I'm never going to know it. You know, they're not going to let cities burn into the night. You know, as I said, somebody took me to task saying, how dare you say the nation can be held hostage for a black? I'm not saying I want it to be that way. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm a realist, and I'm saying that's the way it is. They're not going to have the cities burning into the night, rioting and looting because Barack Obama didn't get his place behind the desk in the Oval Office. That's not going to happen. You know, whether he's a citizen of this country or Kenya, it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, obviously, because it's unconstitutional. But it doesn't matter to the power brokers. The people that are in Washington are not going to keep him out of the White House. They're just not. They're not. John in Oklahoma. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, John.
Hey, Rick. Nice to talk to you. I think the problem with this is that the punishment never, ever fits the crime. This guy might go to jail for 4 years and get out, and you know one of his cronies is going to put him in a nice six-figure job. But if you take the punishment and you make it 20 years, when you you take the trust of the American people and you betray it, and you know you're going to do 20, 25 years like some kid on the corner selling crack, maybe you won't do that. Maybe you won't take that chance of trying to land your wife a $150,000 a year job if you know that you're going to die in a regular prison and not some club fed. I think that's the solution, is that the American people have got to make sure that the elite of this country's feet are put to the coals, and they're going to burn when they do something wrong.
John, I don't disagree with that, but I'll tell you why it hasn't become a reality. Because the judges involved, the courts involved, are intrinsically involved with a lot of these politicians. There are appointments of many of these positions that are in play with the politicians that are corrupt and dirty. There is money and lots of it flowing in all directions around these politicians and their particular influence on it and where it flows and in what amounts. It's all about the Benjamins. You can always follow the money to the root evil. Always. Always. And, you know, even with citizen oversight committees, what do? They just go under deeper. There becomes another layer of cover-up. There becomes another layer of fall guys. The separation becomes greater, and the Citizen Oversight Committee only sees what they allow them to see. That's the problem. Everything is so intrinsically connected in some form or fashion between the judges and the courts and the politicians and the law enforcement. It would be almost a virtual impossibility to make that happen. But, you know, look at the bail. What is it, 4,500. What about Conrad Black? Remember, and that was last year. Virtually the same charges filed against him. A $20 million bail, for God's sake. I mean, you know, I agree with you. If a politician knew, if he got dirty and took money, he could do 20 to 30 years in a federal lockup, as you say, not a club fed someplace, but in a federal lockup, doing hard time. That may dissuade some of these guys from, rolling over on the people they say they're going to serve. I just don't think that could ever come to fruition. I'd like it to happen, but the reality of it, there's too many people connected some way, somehow. It's a dirty, dirty business, this game of politics. All right, your call straight ahead, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Chronology. I have not talked with the governor of Illinois in 4 years. My first meeting with him was 2 days ago at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at his office. The press chronicled me going in. The press chronicled me leaving. I presented the governor my credentials. I have waged a very public campaign for this post, reaching out to editorial boards, to email list subscribers. We've established phone trees to get the governor's attention because we recognize the broad latitude that the Illinois statute gives the governor in making this appointment. But no one was authorized, is authorized, and nor am I aware of anyone making an offer to the governor on my behalf.
Well, I hope for your sake that's true, because quite honestly, based on how you present your case, it just sounds very, very fishy to me. This is Rick Roberts Sitting in for Michael Savage, you're on the Savage Nation. You know, that's a much different soundbite than the other one where he's absolutely, without qualification, categorically, no way, no how could anybody talk to the governor on my behalf. Well, that's impossible to say. You can't make statements like that because you don't know, unless, of course, you're talking about yourself and only yourself. I was thinking about politicians in general. Randy Duke Cunningham, Republican. What's he doing? 11 years, you know, for taking all this stuff. And I don't know. I mean, if you wanted to set an example, there's a pretty good example. And that guy, when he went down hard, and people loved him. He did a lot of good work, but he was also dirty in the aspect of taking money and taking goods and services and things of that nature. You just don't do that. You know, that last caller made a lot of sense. I mean, it should be a national crime to do what these politicians are doing. It should be an abomination in this country to do what these people are doing. But it seems as though it's you know, part and parcel in the business. Mark, I'm going to get to your call in just a second. Mark in New York, stand by. I don't know where to put this sometimes. I immerse myself in this 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, every month, every year. And it should surprise me, but it doesn't. And that bothers me greatly. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation, toll free 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. And don't forget, make some time to go to michaelsavage.com. You can also get Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, at michaelsavage.com. And the very latest details on Blagojevich, and it's just going to get worse. It's like Barack Obama said about the economy. It's just going to get worse. And I suppose without the Barack Obama involvement here, this would be just another corruption story out of the Chicago corrupt political machine. You know, but I started thinking about this. If you listen to the allegations made by the feds against this guy, it doesn't get any more low down than that. I mean, it truly doesn't. And, you know, one of the previous, I think John from Oklahoma, you know, if you made this, you know, so bad as far as the punishment phase, then maybe you'd get the attention of these egomaniacal narcissist politicians that believe they're above the law. You know, no, we rule the people. We're not the common folk. We rule them. We know best what to do in their interest. No, you don't. You know, you may have a better suit, but you're no smarter than the next guy, and they're not. I started thinking about this. You know, I started reading the names, addresses, and convictions of convicted child molesters about 10 years ago and worked very closely with, Stephanie Schmidt's parents and Megan Kinka's parents and Amber Hagerman's parents. And, I still do that. And just a way to keep it top of mind, you know, go there, find out where these, you know, perverts live. But these sex offenders have to register for the rest of their unnatural lives. Well, what if we had something similar? I mean, because once you take that which can never be replaced, the innocence of a child, as far as I'm concerned, you're done. You're done. You ought to be glad we leave you walking around breathing air. But we have a right to know where you are and what you're doing. Why is this any less of a crime, really? They basically have turned their backs on the American people, men, women, and children, selling out Senate seats. In this particular case, he was trying to figure out if there was some way to get back the $8 million that went to a children's hospital because he didn't get his $50,000 bribe, for God's sake. What if a corrupt politician that's been convicted got to do time, and if you get out, you can never, ever, ever, for the rest of your corrupt life, work in any sphere of politics at any level of government, city, state, or federal. You can't work for a lobbying group. You can't work for a politician. You can never, ever be involved in politics again. They'd probably implode. They probably couldn't stand it. But what if that was a part of the sentencing? just like child molesters. Child molesters have to register for the rest of their lives as child molesters. Well, what if crooked politicians could never, ever again, for the rest of their lives, work at any level of government, in government, around government, for government? They just couldn't do it, period. They'd have to be out there with the common folk, you see. Maybe that's what we need to do in this country. I bet you could get a referendum and get enough signatures by the American people to make that happen. New York, Mark, I appreciate you waiting. I appreciate your tenacity. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi. I have a facetious comment and a samba comment. I'll first give you the facetious comment. I used to read Mad Magazine when I was a kid, and they would occasionally publish these stickers that you can tear out and paste somewhere.
Right.
And one of the stickers was, God must have loved crooked politicians. He made so many of them.
Right, right.
That's my facetious. Now, the samba comment is this. Hannah Arendt's phrase comes into play here, even with politics. The banality of evil.
Right.
The evil accepted as the normal way of doing things.
Correct, yes. And that's exactly what we've been talking about now for the second day in the case of the Illinois governor. It's accepted. It's part of playing the game. But, you know, I understand, Mark, I understand the politicians, the people intrinsically involved in this evil. And it is evil because you're violating the public trust. You're raping the public trust. But what I don't understand is why the people that are governed by these people put up with it. That is the most troubling part, that they just, hey, it's just part of the process. Hey, all politicians are crooked. Hey, that's just the way they are. See, that's the most troubling part to me. That's why I truly, truly believe if we would change the sentencing guidelines for political corruption, we might see a downturn. I'm not going to guarantee it. I'm not going to bet the farm, but we might see something. Albany, New York. Margaret, thank you for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Margaret.
Oh, it's an honor. Hi.
How are you?
You know what, Rick? The only thing is the politicians are a mirror of their constituents. Did you understand what I said?
No, I did. I'm thinking about what you said. You just said the politicians are mirroring the constituency that they supposedly serve.
Yes, and the people really do not have what you think they should have, the moral, the upstanding, I love America. They don't have it. They don't have it.
But, Margaret, you know, I think I would agree to you to a point. But I truly, truly believe at the end of the day, if given the chance to do the right thing, most, not all, most people, most Americans would choose to do the right thing. Unless, of course, there's some financial gain or some extenuating circumstance that would cause them to wrestle with their morality or their ethics or what have you, and then many people of weak character would cave to that. But, I don't know. I think some people are just inherently evil people, Margaret. And I think no matter what they do, whether they're selling, you know, whether they're selling hot dogs on the street corner, or they're governors of states, they're going to act out in that fashion with the sphere of influence that they have at their disposal. I don't know that that necessarily means that everybody in Chicago is corrupt. Everybody that votes in an election in Chicago just accepts and tolerates corrupt politicians. I think, I don't know. You know, Margaret, that's an excellent point. I mean, it's an excellent theory you throw out there, because I can see your point and see why you believe that. You know, maybe I'm an eternal optimist or something, I shouldn't be, being in talk radio this long, but I don't know. I think some people are just evil people, Margaret, and they're going to do evil things no matter what the circumstance.
But, Rick, when you go to work every day and you go into the office and they're talking about, the average person is talking about Survivor, and they're saying to me, did you see the fire? Oh, no, you don't watch fire. And I said, yeah, I did. I watched the political debates tonight. I watched it between McCain and Obama. That's my survivor. They had not a clue. Now, I work
okay.
In an
office. Okay, Margaret, if I can interject here. Okay, now I'm getting closer to your belief system here. when you say a politician that is corrupt is mirror imaging his constituency, you know, in the case of Blagojevich, I think Blagojevich is able to get away with what he's getting away with because of arrogance, because of ego, because of being a narcissist, because of being evil. Not necessarily mirror imaging his constituency, but taking advantage of people being fat, happy, and lazy, people being complacent, people being apathetic. Now, I could ride with you on that train for a ways. That makes sense to me, and I've made that that point many, many times.
Oh, that's exactly. You have it.
do you see what I'm saying? I mean, there's a difference between people tolerating evil and people just being fat, lazy, complacent, and apathetic. And I think they simply take advantage of that.
Absolutely. People are very lazy today. They think freedom just comes just automatic, and they just don't understand. It does not. They need to get out there. They need to get educated. They need to listen. Get yep. off the Survivor. Get off all these other soap operas and listen. Listen to what's happening. They go into that voting booth and they don't have a clue.
No, they don't. No, you're absolutely right, Margaret. And I knew we could come to some common ground if we kept talking. Yeah, for any of those people out there that have been given so much for so long, for so little, if anything, required of them, if you think freedom is just, well, it's just the way it is. It's everything's free. It's a free country. I have a right. I have this. I have that. If you think that freedom doesn't come without a cost, you know, pick up a couple CDs and maybe some snacks or something and stop by Walter Reed or Bethesda or Balboa Hospital and look at those young men. Look at those amputees. Look at those guys with concussion damage. Look at those guys pushing each other around in wheelchairs. And then come back here and tell me freedom doesn't have a cost. Grand Junction, Ted. Ted, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Rick. I just wanted to call in and talk about how the political class in this country loves to champion accountability only when it's to benefit them. I'll give you a lighter case in recent history and then contrasted with a second case that'll tie right back to today's story. Last week when Plaxico Burress shot himself with his gun, the New York mayor's calling for him to get jail time. But at the same time, the state of New York's ready to let Spitzer walk with no jail time because he's a politician. You know, Obama and Resco and Valerie Jarrett take about $120 million of government money to not fix the houses of poor people, and there's no investigation, no crime there. But the minute Resco tries to get too big of a kickback out of the politicians, he ends up in the slammer.
Ted, you make such a valid point. They are truly like the wild animals eating their young. There's no doubt about it. There's double standards, triple standards, quadruple standards when it comes to political corruption. And that's why I said, Ted, you know, I was kicking this around. I think if you could make the sentencing guidelines for this type of crime, you know, heretofore it's been one of the white collar crime. They're playing tennis in the afternoon and, you know, watching television later in the evening and then, you know, tucking themselves off to bed. And if they wake up, maybe switch on the color TV and watch a little TV until they fall asleep. That's not being in prison. That's being inconvenienced. But if you made a change in the federal guidelines for sentencing for these type of crimes, I truly, truly think that might have an impact. You make the jail time hard in real jails, in real prisons. You become totally oblivious to the connections they may or may not have with judges and courts and the flow of money to very, very influential people. Campaign finance reform is imperative. Term limits, imperative. You basically put the brakes on the whole political dynamics of the country and say, look, if you dare to sell out this country and its political system and slap the faces of those men that don the uniform to fight for our way of life, whether you agree with the conflict or not, is irrelevant. If you dare do that, there is a consequence that is hell on earth in this country, a free society, because the freedom is not free. It comes with responsibility, and you know what? You roll over on the people that you say you want to govern, and that will be something you will carry with you for the rest of your life. You do hard prison time, and then you are forbidden forever from serving in on any board, in any political sphere of influence, for a politician, in and around a politician, sorry, you're done with that. Maybe then, and only then, that would be the only way to get the attention of these egomaniacal, evil people. And they are evil. Because before, it's white-collar crime. You know, that sounds like the guy added a two, carried a four, and took home the change from the bank. These are evil people that are destroying the country from within. I truly feel that way. All right, your calls straight ahead. You know, maybe I'm just blowing smoke here, and that it's not resonating. But it has to. Your country's important. Your political system, with all the flaws and the junk, it's important. It sets us apart from third world countries. And if you've traveled outside your own zip code and been to some of these places, you don't want to go there, and you certainly don't want to live there. You know, we've got a pretty good deal in this country, but there are a lot of people that would take it away from you and smile at you all the way to the bank. That's got to stop. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on The Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Don't forget, make some time to go to michaelsavage.com. That's where you can get Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, all the breaking news stories of the day, and, of course, the very latest details on the Illinois governor. You know, I was talking to someone about this. As a talk show host, I was very, very involved in politics at one point in my career, very involved. And those people that I was involved with that are listening, you know, I'm not saying what campaigns this, you know, some of the things I still am very, very proud of. Other things, I got to be honest with you. It was like, you know, I had several tuxedos in the closet all the time because I was going that much. I mean, you can be gone every single night for something, fundraiser, campaigning this, campaigning that. And a lot of these things, yeah, you agree with some of the things. You don't agree with everything. You're instrumental because of your sphere of influence on the radio, and that's good, I suppose, but it comes with a cost, and you need to be very aware of that. And as I said, I'm very proud of some of the things I was involved with, you know, whether it's the DA, which is a very good friend, loved to death, you know, I was a part of a transition team for a recall campaign and some other things. But, you know, what I found was almost unconsciously you get involved with this. And because of your very presence in a thing or just being around it, you're drawn into it. And again, almost unconsciously. And you get to a point where you kind of stand back and say, wait a minute, how did this happen? And, I went from that to doing almost virtually nothing. And I'll tell you why. I have to be objective. I got nothing in this business without credibility, without legitimacy. And sometimes just being associated with one cause or another cause or this agenda or that agenda or this political dynamic or that political dynamic, it skews things. It changes things. And I finally got to a point where, you know, every day behind the microphone, you know, I get to, I'm not going to name names, but you would recognize every single one of them. When they come in, I'm going to ask them questions because I don't want to be beholden. I've never been beholden to anybody in this industry since I started, and I don't want to start now. When I get these people in studio and look at them eye to eye, I'm going to ask them the same questions that the guy sitting in the Ford F-150 in traffic trying to get to the construction site so he can turn a dollar to pay his mortgage and he's worried about gas money. I'm going to ask him the same question that guy would ask if he could. Or the guy trying to get the report into the boss so he can get the promotion so he can do it. I'm going to ask this, whoever it is, the same question that guy wants to answer, or the mom sitting there with two kids trying to figure out how to pay daycare, and I'm going to ask the same question that she would ask. And they know that coming in. They know that coming in. There are no softballs. I'm not beholden. I don't have sacred cows. I don't do it. And you know what? The ones that will take the heat will walk in and talk to you. The other ones, well, he's not available. You know, I know the drill. Now, I'm not talking about the Illinois governor. This guy is flawed morally, flawed ethically, and certainly needs to clean up his language. But, you know, you get drawn into this stuff because you have some sphere of influence or because you have some level of celebrity or whatever. You start getting calls from people just because you are who you are, not because of what you are. And that's why I turned it off. I literally turned it off. And I said, I'm going to be true to one thing, and that's the audience, period. I still like a lot of these people very much. I still support them in what I do and in what I say. But I just couldn't allow myself to be drawn into that because, you turn around and you wake up and go, man, when did this happen? And I never want to get there. Never want to get there again. Listen, we're going to bring you the very latest details. All you need to do is go to michaelsavage.com. Michael, it's always a pleasure to sit behind your mic when you're away. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on The Savage Nation.
Savage.